On this first day of 2017, we say together, God is good, and all the time. And bless your hearts for being here today. You could have been anywhere else. You could have been sitting in front of the television or sleeping in, recovering from your late night partying. You could have been out to eat or visiting friends, but you are here today. But we also want to recognize and acknowledge those who are traveling, who are going to be with family in other parts. Pray for them and for safe travels. If you're a visitor with us today, we especially welcome you and encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today so that we can get to know you a little bit better. As we said, today is Epiphany Sunday, where we remember those wise ones who came so long ago, who brought their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What would we bring today in our service of worship as we ring in the new year, proclaiming that He is the light of the world? He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hear now our opening scripture passage from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, a thick darkness, the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice because of the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we come now to our invocation, I am reminded of someone that I served on a committee with not too long ago who was wise and gifted in prayer. And before every prayer, she would do this. And I wondered, why does she do this? Just blows out all the air and she loosens up her arms. It's on Sundays like this that I begin to learn why she goes like this. When things are chaotic and it's a new year and the people who are normally running PowerPoint are not here to run it and get it started, and oh well, we might have church anyway. People who are supposed to be in this place are not in that place, and people are throwing out their backs and not able to be behind the scenes as they normally are. People are sick and having to rush home, and wise men are coming and going, and there are all the details. And things can seem overwhelming. It could seem like, what kind of a start to the new year might this be? And so we blow it all out and out of the way and just let the Lord be with us. Let us pray. Spirit, come. You are the breath. The breath going in and the breath coming out, giving us life and light and hope in this new year. Spirit, come. Ease any frustrations or worries or concerns or doubts or fears or restlessness or listlessness that might be lingering in our hearts. Spirit, come and focus us away from all distractions. And there is much that can distract on a day like this. Spirit, come and free us from our preconceived notions of what ought to happen in Sunday school, what ought to happen in worship. Spirit, come and free us from our foolishness when we think we are so wise and we think we know what is best. Spirit, free us from our inability to be flexible, our failure to simply go with the flow. Spirit, free us from our legalistic tendencies and our tendency to compartmentalize our lives. This part is spiritual. This part is recreational. This is family. This section is church. This portion I give to work, and this portion I give to play. God, help us to see it is all yours, not only in this moment, but in all moments. Spirit, come. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. We continue to worship as we sing that favorite hymn, We Three Kings of Orient Are. It's number 113 in your hymnals.
Be seated. Good morning and Happy New Year. I'm here to remind you of the special things that are going to be happening at our church next Sunday, January the 8th. Carson and Laura Fushi are going to be here. Remember, Carson and Laura are the missionaries that we have been supporting for the last 3 years. They've been in Japan, and they're home right now on a furlough, and so they want to come and spend the day with us. They're going to come for our morning sermon. They're going to do the sermon next Sunday and share some of the things that have happened with them over the last 3 years and some of their plans for the future. they're going to come back Sunday night. They're going to have supper with us, and our supper on Sunday night, donations will be given to Carson and Laura to help further their activities when they return to Japan. And then after supper, they're going to meet with their RAs and GAs and mission friends and talk to them and do some activities with them. And when they finish with them, they're going to come and meet with their adult Bible study that meets on Sunday night and talk to us for a while. So we would like for everybody to come out next Sunday, all throughout the day, all throughout the activities, and share some time with Carson and Laura, because we talk about them all the time. We have their pictures up around, and it's going to be good to see them. I was lucky enough to go to the Elon basketball game yesterday, and Carson was there. He had come to spend the afternoon with some friends. Laura was not with him because she had something else going on, but Carson was there, and I got to talk to him for a little while, and they are very excited about coming next week. We're also going to take Carson and Laura out to lunch, the missions team, and if anyone else would like to go with us, it'll be an extra time to share some stuff. I know the youth have something going on at lunch, the youth and the youth families, but we're going to take them out to lunch. So if anybody wants to go with us, you're welcome to go. Carson and Laura's plans right now are to return to Japan in March, or really the end of March. And they're going to be for the next 3 years in language school, learning the Japanese language. So they're going to be based in Tokyo. And so they're not going to go back to the town where they were, where they had the churches, but they're going to be based in Tokyo. So it's going to be an exciting time for them. So come out next Sunday and find more and more about them. Thank you.
A couple questions for you this morning. How many wise men were there? Well, today we had four, didn't we? We had four, didn't we? Yeah, huh? You're confused, are you? We always hear there are three, right? But the Bible doesn't really tell us how many, does it? Today we had four, didn't we? Yeah? But does the Bible tell us how many? The Bible says... we don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us how many. What did the wise men ride on? Did they ride on a donkey? Did they ride on a camel? Did they ride on a horse? Langston says they rode on a donkey. Does the Bible tell us specific what they rode on? No, it doesn't tell us. Where did they come from? Did they come from Babylon, Rome, New Jersey? No, it doesn't tell us. It just says they came from the east, doesn't it? Right. Well... what do you think if we, you know, what would happen if there had been three wise women? Well, listen to this little story I found when I was studying up on this. It said if we had three wise women instead of three wise men, you know, the three wise women would have asked for directions. They would have arrived on time. They would have helped deliver the baby. They would have cleaned the stable. They'd have made a casserole. They'd have brought diapers. And they'd have brought formula as gifts. So we wouldn't have had any trouble, would we? But now, and then I found this other thing that I thought was real cute. And it says, if I was going to visit someone, and I kind of related it back to when Susan called me to come up here to interview for the church. And she said, how about come up here and come talk to us? She says, and then she said, Elon. I was like, where in the world is Elon? I'd never heard of it. So I had to get a map out. How many of y'all ever seen a map? Y'all ever seen a map before? Well, let me find this. What kind of map is this? I said Jericho. Here's a map. This is a map of North Carolina. Y'all ever seen a map? Y'all seen a map before? Well, when Miss Susan called me, she said, how about come up here and talk with us? I was like, well, okay. All right, she said, well, you ever heard of Elon? I was like, well, no, not really. And so I got the map out, and I started looking. Except I didn't use the map. I used my phone, the map on my phone. But the wise men had to ask for directions. But they didn't have maps back then, did they? Back in the Bible times, did they? So that's a map. Well, the wise men, what did they use for their map? Wes? A star, right. Now, was this a normal star in the sky? No. What kind of star was it? It had a special name, didn't it? Wasn't it called, when it was over what town? Bethlehem, the Star of Bethlehem? That's what I've always heard it called, Star of Bethlehem. There was a song about Star of Bethlehem. But I'm getting off the subject here. Let's get back on the subject here. Okay, if I was going to visit someone, I would have got a map. Jesus was born. Some wise men heard the king had been born. They wanted to find a king so they could worship and honor him. So they went to see a priest. And what did the priest tell them? They asked the priest where they could find King Jesus, where they could find the king. The priest knew where Jesus was, and they told him to look for the star, right? So what did they do when they kept doing what so they could find Jesus? What did they follow? They followed the star, right? Now, did they have that map to follow the star by?
No,
they used the star to find, right? So they didn't have directions of a map. So when they got there, what did they do, the wise men? What did they bring to Jesus? They gold, frankincense, and what else? Yeah, they brought it to the baby, didn't they? But was he a baby when they got there? Mm-mm. What did they say about 2, 3, something like that? Now, do y'all know what the goal is? What is the goal for? The goal is for a king, right? What was the mirth? What did they use the mirth for? The myrrh. Do you know? The mirth they used when they buried people, they used it to help the burial for the smell. And then the frankincense was, they burn it as incense, kind of, and worship and stuff. So the wise men today are still seeking Jesus. We know he's not in Bethlehem because he's no longer there. He's up in the throne in heaven. We don't need a map to find Jesus. We don't even need a star to find Jesus. But we do, but we can find our way to Jesus by using God's holy word, the Bible. Okay, so this is our map to find Jesus, our Bible. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we seek you today because we want to worship you as the crown of our King. We thank you for the Bible, for which you have given us to lead you to him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our offertory hymn this morning is The First Noel. And I don't know the hymn number offhand. 85, they said. Let's stand and let's sing The First Noel. We'll sing 1, 3, and 4.
Thursday.
to say, we're going with the flow. It's fine. Let's just give thanks for today's offering. Heavenly Father, we just come and give thanks for tithes and offering. Lord, we just thank you for continuing to bless us. And we just look forward to continuing to receive your blessings and through this next year so we can continue to build your kingdom and continue to be a blessing to those. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "The thief comes to kill and to steal and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." We go through our life without Christ, being robbed of life, robbed of joy, robbed of completeness and purpose. We find that the very life in us is murdered out. We find that we are deceived and in darkness. But as our Epiphany scripture reminds us, the light shines in the darkness. The darkness has seen a great light, the light of Christ. And that life, Jesus says, comes to bring life to the full. Today, our candidate for baptism, Wesley Daniel Smith, comes seeking life to the full in the light of Christ. Would you join him here in the baptismal waters? The first commitment to be made today is by you, the congregation here at First Baptist Church, Elon. You are brothers and sisters in Christ to this young man, Wesley. Are you willing to commit to disciple him in the faith of Jesus, to nurture him in the Holy Scriptures, to stand by him in times both of joy and of sorrow, to be there with him through the seasons and the ages, and to allow yourself also to be taught by Wesley, encouraged by Wesley, nurtured in your faith and in your understanding of the Scriptures by this young man? If so, would you indicate that by saying amen?
Amen.
Wesley, you hear the voice of the congregation. They are with you, even as they stood with you when you came forward that Sunday to make a public profession of faith. And now we, as the people of First Baptist, ask you, have you rejected the world and all of its ways and committed to following Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and to follow him all the days of your life?
I have.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we are here in the waters with your Spirit hovering over the waters even as he did at creation to breathe new life in your child, Wesley Daniel Smith. We pray, Lord, that we would all keep our commitments that we make here in the waters today. Would you continue to abide with him as he grows in his faith and in his understanding, and most of all, in his love for you and for his neighbor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wesley, therefore, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, dying to yourself, raised in newness of life. Jesus said, Wesley, that you are the light of the world. And the salt of the earth. Go and make disciples. Amen. And indeed, all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
I guess y'all figured out I'm not David Durham this morning, correct? Man. Join with me as I do the pastoral prayer and confession. Father God, we come to you approaching your throne of grace and mercy made possible through our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, going into a new year, we just again continually just lift you up and hold you in our sights. And Lord, as we go out into this world and into this world that seems so troubled at times, we thank goodness for you. And we continue to thank you for the opportunity to confess our sins and to know that we are redeemed, made possible through you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's scripture reading will come from Psalms 72. You can join with me as I read. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. He will judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. He will endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. He will be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days, the righteous will flourish. Prosperity will bound till the moon is no more. He will rule from the sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The desert tribes will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live, may gold from Sheba be given him, may people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. Let grain abound throughout the land, on the tops of the hills may it sway. Let its fruits flourish like Lebanon, let it thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever, may it continue as long as the sun. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse. Thank you.
always love it when the baptism is in the middle of the service. It feels like it's not just tagged on at the end or beginning, but it is the service. What a great day and what a great thing to celebrate together. I want to thank the Reverend Dr. Ethan Lindsay here for filling in. David is very, very sick this weekend and was not able to be here. And our deacon of the week also felt ill this morning and had to rush home. And so we called in the expert. We called in the A-team over here. We appreciate your willingness. By the way, the Lord holds the keys to the kingdom, but Ethan holds somebody's keys that were left in the bathroom, the ladies' bathroom. So after the service, if you left your keys and you don't know how to get home, either get them from Ethan or Ethan will find out which new car he's driving home today. So let's go to the Lord in another one of those breathy prayers. Lord, as we come to your word, we heard this word over and over throughout our lives. It is easy for us to say, yeah, I've heard that story. But Lord, help us to hear it anew. Most of all, help us to hear it rightly. In Christ's name, amen. Gay shared the story with us that in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and worship him.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another way." As Gay pointed out to the children, there is so much we don't know about these wise men. I especially like the idea that perhaps they were from New Jersey. That was interesting. Maybe they were from Persia, maybe from some other places. There are a great host of European traditions that they even have names: Balthazar, Melchior, Casper, not Casper the ghost, Casper the wise man. They have backstories that have been created over the ages. One is from Persia, one is from Asia, one is from Africa. But the truth is, we really don't know. We don't even know how many there were. The earliest traditions were always that there were 12 magi. The three just simply comes partly from the number of gifts and partly borrowed from Roman pagan worship. But there may have been 12, there may have been 20. They may have had servants, they may have had bodyguards to go with them on the treacherous road through the desert. They may have had camels and donkeys. We don't know. We don't know how they dressed, or what language they spoke, or what god they worshiped. But what I am beginning to learn about this story is that none of those details matter nearly as much the who or the what or the where. None of that matters as much as how they responded. When they see Mary and the child, and once they have an opportunity to worship the child, to encounter the baby Jesus in worship, how do they respond? Barring heavy inspiration from Barbara Brown Taylor's famous sermon, she notes this great line that they return to their home by another way. That's their response to the reality of Jesus. It's their response to the person of Jesus, not to a doctrine or a teaching or a set of bylaws or a constitution, not their response to any kind of list of sins and saintly behaviors, but their response to Jesus himself is that they return home by another way. As Taylor points out, once you meet the real Jesus, you can never go back the way you came, can you? You can never go back the way things used to be. Even if you make some kind of foolish, conscious decision to not serve and not follow Jesus, you still can't go back the way you came, because you cannot escape the reality of this person, Jesus, and the impact and the implications that has on our lives. It is so easy for us in church to miss the reality of the person of Jesus in favor of the story, the ideal, and not even the biblical story, but the story that's been passed on from us to us from generation to generation. Like little kids, we still think about the nativity story in that same childish, not necessarily innocent, but perhaps even foolish way. When I was a kid, you always wanted to be the Magi, by the way. That was the star of the show. They got to wear the bling. They got to wear all the rings and the necklaces, and they had the crowns. But none of that was very real. You know, I think I was my first year in the religion department at Campbell University before it ever consciously occurred to me that the wise men didn't wear bathrobes. Because that's what you always use in the poor man's nativity scene, is a bathrobe around your body and a towel wrapped around your head and grandma's costume jewelry everywhere. But these Magi weren't like that. They were something different. And the point is not about how they dressed or where they stood or how old the child was or whether it was a barn or a house or whether the child was 2 years old or an infant like it is in our nativity, but this response to go changed, to go forth in life different. When did you encounter Jesus? Think about it. Were you a child? Did you grow up in church and you sang songs about him and you heard stories about him and you had picture books about him and you saw his portrait on the wall? Or were you older? Were you at a revival? Was it through the words of a preacher or a song? Or did somebody sit down with you one-on-one and tell you about this Jesus? When did you first encounter him? Not just hear about him or know about him. When was that moment, whether you grew up in church or came to church at 80, when was that moment where you knew you were encountering something? It changed you. But is it still changing you? Do you remember your baptism? Do you remember the covenant you made with God and the commitment you made? Do you remember that excitement and that energy that you once had in your faith? What the wise men remind us is if we continue to seek him, we will continue to encounter him. And if we encounter him rightly, we can continue to not go home the same way. You know, you don't grow up as a Christian. That's a fool's story. You don't get to the point where I don't really need to go to Sunday school anymore or Bible study, or I don't really need to go to a prayer group any longer. I don't really need to do something new or different or start some kind of other study or start thinking in some new lines. I don't need to hear another sermon, another message, read another book. The Magi would say to you, no, keep seeking. Because you don't grow up as a Christian. You just grow. You grow forever and ever and ever and ever. In the year 2017, it's a great opportunity for us to step back and ask ourselves these questions. I've thrown them out here salt and pepper style, but let's organize them. Are we encountering Jesus? Are we seeking Jesus? And are we allowing this reality of Jesus to change us? If you can look back at your beliefs and your faith and your knowledge of Scripture 10 years ago and say not a whole lot has changed, you are doing it wrong. If you can look back 5 years and say, I pretty much believe the same way I believed 5 years ago, and I pretty much know about what I knew 5 years ago, I haven't slid back at all, preacher. If that's our story, we are doing it wrong. If we can look back 1 month ago and not see any change, we are doing it wrong. Because wise ones know that when you seek him, the journey goes on and on and on. In a few weeks, we're going to begin a church-wide, well, mostly church-wide study, Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. And one of the most profound statements that the Experiencing God study makes, I'll give to you for free right here and now. He says, quote, you cannot go with God and stay where you are, end quote. Let's pray. We seek the star child, O Lord, that we might go with him, that we might not stay where we are, we might not stay the same way, we might not stay in darkness. For where he goes, we know the light goes as well. Amen. Would you respond to God's word this morning as we sing together our hymn of response, As With Gladness, Men of Old? If you're able, please stand.